Next is conditional use number 2111, Michael Muzalius, and I'm very sorry if I mispronounced that.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an RV park model trailer repair and refurbishment business with outdoor storage and sales to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 1 acre more or less of a 32.16 acre parcel of land. The property is located on the south side of Whitenex Road, approximately 754 feet east of Holtz Landing Road. The 911 address is 30190 Whitenex Road, Dagboro. The tax map is District 134, Map 8, Parcel 5, and it's a portion of that parcel. Staff would note for the record that there's a status analysis, a site plan, comments from the Sussex Conservation District, comments from the DLDOT, results of the service level evaluation. We do have a letter in opposition, and that letter states, and it's from the Thomas City Law, and this is on behalf of their, the firm represents Theater Banks and Cami Banks Kane, property owners who oppose the conditional use application that was submitted. The application requests permission to utilize AR1 to permit the use, special use for an RV trailer repair and refurbishment. It is their belief that the use began utilizing the property, which is owned by a Farm Preservation Trust, in early 2015, without a conditional use approval. And not only the concern of the neighboring properties that have the application, the intended use of the portion would insert a commercial business into a purely agricultural residential community, which will greatly alter the essential character of the neighborhood, and possibly environmental issues created by this use may be detrimental to public welfare. The previous use demonstrates the applicant's intended use will cause an unsightly eyesore for the community, which most likely will result in a negative impact to the community and property values. Besides that, they have some, the use could create some serious environmental risks to the soil, surrounding water, and does not seem to fall in line with the overall goals of AR1, which are designed to protect the natural resources. And again, they have concerns with the environmental issues, and they believe this could cause irreparable harm to the tract of land and surrounding land. Therefore, they're asking it to be denied. Thank you.
Good evening.
Hi.
My name is Maxwell Morris. I'm a surveyor here in Sussex County. I live at 31075 Bird Haven Street in Millville, Delaware. Mr. Muzalius, Michael Muzalius, has asked that I come up here and help explain what he's up to out there. I prepared the plan that was turned in as part of the application. I hope you guys have all had a chance to look that over. Basically, what Mr. Muzalius does is he buys and sells used RVs and park model trailers. And he stores them on this property. It's approximately 1 acre of property on a 32-acre parcel owned by Banks Family Limited Partnership right off of White's Neck Road there. And as you can tell by the location, if you look at the plan I submitted, the conditional use area is actually set back from the road about 200 or 300 feet, and it's screened from the road in the front by the existing home and outbuildings associated with the property. The property is screened further on the back and on the west by a woods, and the east parcel is a fence line that is sort of grown up with trees and other things of that nature that for the most part screen off this area from the neighbors, adding to sort of the desirability of this site for this type of application. Now, this is not going to be a traditional sort of sales lot that you see out on the highway when someone's going to sell used cars or whatever with a bunch of advertising out front and a bunch of flags and whatever. It's always designed to be just a place to store these RVs and these trailers while Mr. Muzalius repairs anything wrong with these things, refurbishes the insides, get them set for resale. Now, what Mr. Muzalius does is he handles all the sales of these items via the internet. He doesn't have a big sign out front, he doesn't have a bunch of advertising, there's not a lot of traffic associated with the business at all. There's actually very little, if any, traffic associated with the business. All sales are handled essentially on a phone call business, and you set an appointment up, and he'll meet you out there and walk you around the particular unit that you may or may not be interested in. So the real, like I said, there's not a lot of traffic in and out of the property at all. He doesn't have any salespeople that work for them, so it's not a sales site at all. The plan was always to be, Michael would purchase these things, fix them up on his own time. Once they're ready to go, takes pictures of them, puts them on the internet. People call him up, make arrangements to purchase or not purchase them. This is a nice little site, like I said, sort of secluded, set back off the road, so it doesn't really lend itself to a full-scale commercial venture that you may think this type of operation would. Like I said, it's a very small, low-key operation. There are no lights on the property. It's just open during the daytime. Mike and his employees are out there doing whatever they need to do during the daytime hours. It's not a very noisy business venture at all. The vast majority of the work is done on the inside of these units, so there aren't people outside beating and banging and welding on things or any of that nature. There's just several of these units parked behind the existing farmhouse on the property. So we're not noisy. Again, it's not going to generate any kind of additional traffic on that road. Parts of that road is not a heavily traveled road anyway, at least not in the off season. In the summertime, obviously, that's a whole different story everywhere. It's a very convenient location because one thing Michael does is he buys and sells these park model trailers. Right down the road from this particular site is Tuckahoe Acres Campground. He's bought a lot of property. He's bought a lot of units from there. He's also sold a lot of units to people in there and sets them up. So he does two things. He'll sell you something and set up your unit in your little campground, or when you're ready to sell and move out and go back to Pennsylvania or New York, whatever, Michael, go in, buy you out lock, stock, and barrel, clean off the lot, get it ready for the next guy to come in. So he's done a service to the owner of the unit. He's also done a service to the local campground. He gets in and out very quickly with these things, and they don't lay around. As I said, we're screened from the neighbors, so I think that's okay. We have a good location there. We also, one nice feature of this property is there's an existing paved driveway and entrance, so there's easy access in and out. That's not a problem. We're not blocking the road by doing any of these uses out there. So that another thing. And we don't really feel that this particular use alters the character of the neighborhood, changes the character of the neighborhood anyway. As I said, right down the road is Tuckahoe Acres Campground. So to my mind, it's a very convenient location. And it's a very low-key location. Like I said, we're screened from the road by virtually all sides. Again, it's not a big pop. There's not a lot of advertising. We are indeed asking for a little sign out in the front along the edge of the driveway where Mike can put up the name of his business, D&M Surplus, with a phone number, something small, something not illuminated. As I said, it's purely a daytime operation out there. And I think that's about all we have. Michael, does that sound about right?
Yes.
He'll have to come up and give his name just so it's okay on the record, Michael, and answer that so it's on.
Absolutely. Michael Mutsalius, 30190 White's Neck Road, Dagsboro, Delaware, 19939. I have a little business, just really no employees, not a lot of traffic. Everything's really done online. I just need a place to park stuff.
We'd be certainly glad to answer any questions Commission may have.
Sure, we have some, and we'll start with Mr. Hudson.
Okay, you said you wanted it's for sales, repairs, and storage, right? And service.
Because I sell on the internet, it's got to be considered sales. There's no hours There's no phones. There's a cell phone. Okay. We don't even have electric. I run a generator when I need electric back there.
Okay. And do you live on the site?
Yes.
Okay. How many employees would you have?
I used to have employees there, but I don't anymore. Okay. Maybe one at a time. I used to have, it was a lot larger operation in the past.
Okay. White Neck Road, I would differ greatly with you about the traffic. It's pretty busy. The repair work that you do, would it be outside?
No, it's typically inside the unit. We might change tires or something like that for safety, but besides that, it's all inside repairs.
Okay.
If it's outside repairs, I don't do it.
I got you.
It doesn't come to my site if it's
all right.
Needs outside repairs.
And how much traffic would you say you would produce at that place?
Besides me coming and going from my house, currently not a lot at all. Maybe 5 cars a week, besides myself or an employee, if I did have one.
All right, and would you sell RVs or from that site?
Not, no, I have to sell them from my dealership. I have a dealer's license. You have to do your paperwork elsewhere.
I got you.
No one is generally not hauling it out of there themselves. Most of the time I'm delivering it or moving it for the customer.
Okay. What hours would you be requesting to have as conditional use?
I don't really need any hours. It would be only daylight hours if we're working on something. As far as selling, 2 hours a week total.
Well, I see on your site plan here that you have, I think I counted 22 spots.
Yes.
That you have marked out. Is that, you could say that's all you would have there with 22?
It's going to be a lot less, I assume, from here on out, but yeah, I think that would be more than cover what I need.
Yeah, what we tried to do on the site plan was simply quantify what could and could not be placed out there, so that's just a rough estimate. Once we show the potential parking for customers, as I said, this isn't it's not a traditional sales lot. There isn't going to be a lot of, advertising along the road or anything of that nature. Like Michael says, he does his business across the internet. Virtually all sales or site visits are by appointment. It's not by appointment only, but that's essentially.
Can I ask a question?
Because
you've said a couple different things.
Yes, sir.
Is it a sales location or is it a storage location? Because if it's sales.
I was told that if I do anything on the internet and show it on the internet and it is there, it needs to be considered sales.
Okay. But your DMV dealer's license, where's.
It's at the Route 26 car wash.
And are they requiring you to have, if you're selling out of here, this to also, is that what triggered this conditional use, or did you get violated? Because it seems like if the DMV wants it, they're going to want.
I'm just using it at my house as a storage lot, but in case there's something online that's at my house, then it had to be considered a sales lot.
Well, but doesn't DMV then need to have you list that site for your sales license?
No, because all my paperwork has to be done at the Route 26 car wash where my dealer's license is.
My next question that ties into that, why would you want a sales sign out there? Why would you want a sign that says what you're doing?
I figured if I was coming here, why not ask for it?
Good point.
Service, really. I mean, it's really more service, but because I put stuff online, it could be considered a sales lot.
And I believe the sign would simply help people. Again, a lot of people in summertime down here are from out of state, out of the area. And again, this is just a residential location. And if you look behind it, you go, oh, boy, there's quite a few RVs stuff back there.
Oh, yeah, there's quite a few back there. I see it every day.
Yeah, if you're up and down that road, like Michael said, sometimes it's 4 or 5 out there. Sometimes there's 15 or 20, depending on how things are going. But at least a sign adjacent to the driveway might help people find the place when they're looking for it.
All Did I ask you how many employees you have?
None at that business, at that location.
Okay.
But I may call someone in to do a job on the inside, a finish carpenter or something, that, I guess kind of a subcontractor, a jobber.
Gotcha, okay. I don't have anything further.
Mr. Robbins?
So, maybe I will need to ask you first, Vince. How do we keep it from, maybe this will never happen, but how do we keep it from being an RV graveyard?
What do you think?
I mean, so a couple of ways you do it is, like, you could limit the number that are there. You know, like we've done on other site plans, you have to show on the plan specifically where they'd be stored. You know,
because you can't police duration hardly.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, I mean, we couldn't
Janelle
say.
You have to have somebody come out and take pictures every month.
I don't know how we could.
Or maybe you can. Can you police duration?
RVs, a lot of times they have a title,
but
it's not like they're inspected, right? I mean, you're not taking them through inspection lanes yearly or whatever, where they, you know, like a car is not registered anymore.
A lot of the ones I deal with were titled 10 years ago and never tagged.
Right, right.
So I put a dealer plate on it, I bring it home, I do whatever, throw some stuff away, throw some stuff in the dumpster, and, you know.
So it would be difficult for us to condition it so that it doesn't become. So
you say that it was, what do you say about that again?
Most of the RVs that are purchased in our area are put on a campsite for permanent use. If they get rid of it 5, 10, 15 years later, it was never tagged, it was only titled.
Yeah, there's a DMV title that's issued and it has a VIN number just like a car, but it doesn't have a tag, yeah.
So when you get them there, do you sometimes determine that they just need to be scrapped out?
They don't come there if they need to be scrapped out, because I don't do that. They come there if they have value. If they don't have value, they don't come there.
So typically, how long will when you purchase it, or is that what happens? You'll buy it, or some kind of transaction happens, and it becomes yours?
I've had them as little as a day, and I've had them as much as 6 months or a year. But they all go away. And however that needs to be worded to keep that, you guys happy about that, it's fine, because it's behind my house, so.
And so what I'm looking at here, these big boxes where it says 1 to 10 to 11 to 18, you might have already told us this, but pardon me, but I guess those are the RV locations, and then these other things is parking for people buying and customers?
That's exactly right. Like I said, we just tried to quantify what we could probably get out there to give the commission some idea of what kind of numbers we were talking about. The central area is just a stone parking area there in the middle. There's a couple existing sheds that are filled with equipment and supplies that Mike uses as part of his refurbishment business. We show some parking spaces for potential customers, since that's required as part of the plan. But there are not going to be eight or nine cars there at a time. I think I've been out to the site four times, and once somebody drove up the driveway and stop and talk to us. I don't know if you remember that. I don't know if he was. If you look on the plan, there's also several sheds out there, and they seem to sort of come part and parcel with the trailer or the RV. Once people set up their little operation on a campsite, there always seems to be a shed associated with that.
Everything on this parcel is removable.
Yeah.
There's nothing that's permanent. There's nothing that's dug in the ground. Everything is above the grass and either on wheels or can be moved out.
So in the back right-hand part of the property, where it says shed, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's locations to store sheds that you would accumulate?
When I was out there, those were existing sheds.
Okay, they're existing.
That Mike had purchased, and okay. Like I said, they seem to come with the RV or the park model trailer as just.
So those would be spots. Those would be spots for the sheds, or their sheds are still there.
That's exactly right. They may or may not.
Those actually aren't there anymore.
Okay.
There's one in the back corner that's got quail. It was built for quail to.
And then on the other, but the parking area and drive, is it existing now?
Yes, sir.
So it's not like you're going to install that?
No,
that's there.
Everything there is existing. And then again, the parking places we showed just to try and quantify that, since that's part of the requirement of the plan.
And where it says carport, office, porch, and shed, yes, that's existing?
That's existing.
That's all, yes, existing. And that's where you work out of?
Yes.
And live?
No. I don't live back there. I live up front.
Oh, okay. And then where it says tractor shed, is that an existing tractor shed?
Yes, sir.
But how about these other where it says all these other shed spots? There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Are they existing as well?
They were existing at the time of the plan, but they may or not
those,
be sold
I believe
by
those,
now.
As soon as you come in on the right, those are still there.
Yes.
And they're for the purpose of resale as well?
Yeah, resale or storage, temporary storage.
I guess I would just kind of circle back to the whole trying to spell it out in a way that gives us some control over the graveyard concept.
Yeah, that's a very good point, sir. One thing I will say is, again, I've been out to the site 4 or 5 times. Everything out there is very nice, relatively new, in good shape. And again, Michael, his whole idea is, if you got something nice, I'll buy it, with the idea to resell it. So it's not, I'm going to take whatever garbage you have and just store it out here because I have a little space for it. It doesn't appear that Michael is cannibalizing one unit to fix another. There didn't appear to be a lot of that. Each of these units is, in my opinion, very nice from what I've seen. Very nice. And you've driven by a few times, you said yourself.
Well, I live right there, down there.
Oh, do you? Okay, yeah. I don't know if you can tell from the road, you know, whether things are nice or not. But again, from my walking around the site, everything's very nice, very, very saleable. There is no there are no trash piles. There are no abandoned RVs or no abandoned trailers out there. And like Michael says, the inventory turns over on a pretty regular basis.
Mr. Wheatley.
Tell me about how units come and go from this property. The RVs, I assume you're going to drive them in, drive them out. But you also mentioned that you have park models.
They're all pulled behind trucks.
Okay.
That very rare do I actually get a motorhome. Right. They're usually travel trailers or park models.
So what you have really isn't motorized itself. It's
no, they're all.
So you're
not to say I wouldn't have one tomorrow. But.
Right. But for the most part, they're brought in.
Yeah, they're
brought in, and then when you sell one, somebody comes to pick it up. Or
3/4 of the time, I'm more than half the time, I'm the one that hauls it to its next destination.
You're delivering, okay. Yeah. And how many trips a week would you say?
In season, for the, you know, around the summer season. 2 a week, and the off season sometimes, you know, depending on the, I guess, the end of the season, sometimes 2 or 3 a week.
Right. Okay.
Not usually more than that, but I guess it could be more than that if there's, you know, it could be 4.
Right.
Never know.
Well, one of the challenges that this group has is with a conditional use. And I appreciate everything you're saying about the way you operate your business, but you could sell this and the use is going to go with the property. So
I don't own the property.
You know.
I think this conditional use, I was under the understanding it's just for me to use. That's why it just has my name.
That's not how it works. If we grant it, it's with the property. It's not with you.
Unless it's terminated or abandoned.
Unless they terminate or abandon.
I mean, now that doesn't matter, whatever lease arrangements you may have with the owner, you know, that's going to govern your relationship with the owners. But in terms of the county, the conditional use stays in perpetuity, like you said, unless it's abandoned or terminated.
Well, from an authority standpoint, what if the owner turns out doesn't want this conditional use on his property? I mean, is there some kind of?
You know, that's a good, Keller's reading a good question there, and I've been up here a long time.
Owner might wake up tomorrow morning and say, what?
I may have known the answer to that question at one time, but I've forgotten it. Doesn't the property owner have to give consent, though? I mean, for someone to apply for a conditional use on their property?
We have a representative who has signed the application. I honestly could not make out the signature for who has signed this, but the owner is aware of it because we would have sent them a letter as well.
Yeah, they have to somehow give consent to, yeah.
Correct.
So the way that would work would be, like, if the owner, you know, the owner's got a lease for this, and whatever that lease says, if they didn't want them there, they would have to deal with terminating the lease, and then the owner could come in and void out the application, you know, so. I mean, I assume I shouldn't assume anything. I'll take that back. As far as what we're going to hear on the record.
Right.
This evening.
Okay. I have no other questions right now. Thank you.
Okay. Well, then we might as well just get some of the, you know, brass tacks out of the way. So you would want hours of what to what on this conditional use? Because again,
7 to 7.
7 to 7. And up to how many employees should you get one?
One.
One employee. And storage of materials on site. Do you have any chemicals or things that could be? Okay, no storage. And you would want up to 21 RVs to be allowed on the property at once?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Did I get them all? Okay.
Close enough. Sign with the sign. What's the deal with the sign?
Yeah, you wanted an unlighted sign at the front,
yeah,
correct?
10 feet by 40 feet.
What?
No.
Seeing if anybody was listening.
It's going to be small.
3 feet by 5 feet.
I'm just right away. I was like, wait a minute. I started to do the math. I'm like, that's not. Okay. And as far as buffering around the outside, I know you have some trees, but
the parcel I'm using is fenced in from it was a horse pasture. There's trees along the back and the one side, and the other side is the same parcel,
mm-hmm.
which is a couple hundred feet off the road. So,
does the same family own all three pieces here, or whatever you want to call it?
I think it's my understanding there's about 400 acres there that's owned by the same family, yes.
So this horse pasture is part of the same ownership as the land you're working off of?
Yes.
And how about the land to the other side, Rickards?
That's owned by somebody else.
That's somebody else.
That's a 10-acre parcel owned by the neighbor, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's all my questions. Thank you. All right, let's see if anybody else. I don't know. Let's do this again. Mrs. Walls, do you have any questions?
I do not. Thank you.
That's going on. Ms. Cornwell?
What days of the week would you be operating?
Days of the week.
There's no direct days of operation. I guess my main guys would only work if he was there Monday through Friday. But I may meet somebody there on a Saturday or Sunday.
Okay. So you'd want 7 days.
But there's no business hours. Nobody comes. They can't just come to my house.
Well,
it's still my house.
Yeah, but you have to have business hours, because if you say there's no business hours, guess what? You don't have any business because you're not open. Okay, so you've got to have hours.
I guess we'll go back to the 7 to 7.
And you've got to have days of the week. So if you want, I mean, you can ask for anything you want. Doesn't mean you get it.
All 7 days.
Yeah, so
I know. That's
okay.
I guess 7 days a week, 7 to 7.
Okay. All right. Mr. Robertson.
No questions.
Okay. All right. Well, then.
Thank you very much.
See if anybody
Thank
else.
Thank you very much.
Does anyone like to speak in favor of this application? Please come up.
Good Hi, how are you folks? I'm Daniela Gates. I live kind of across the street in Catacorny from the property. I've lived there for about 13 years now. David and Mike are my neighbors. Basically what it is like he said, it's just he's got RVs out there that he does inside repairs on. I never hear any noise. There's not any chemicals being used. It's not dirty. They're actually relatively nice RVs. It's nothing that I would ever consider like an eyesore or anything like that. And I heard someone pose the question as far as, you know, how would you prevent it from being an RV graveyard? I used to do finance for Preston Automotive for several years. And the way that you prevent that is you have a floor plan. And basically you say, okay, this car can stay on your floor plan for 6 months or a year or whatever. So there are preventative measures you could put in to make sure that no particular RV stays there for more than a year. Again, I don't personally have an issue with it. The folks that live around that I've spoke to also don't have an issue with it. It's not a noise, it's not environmental. There's nothing dirty or anything going on. So I don't see a reason to prevent it. Thank you for your time.
Anybody else like to speak in favor of this application? Is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to this application? Okay, come on up.
Hello, my name is Ted Banks. I live in 30101 Holtz Landing Road, Dagsburg, Delaware, 19939. I'm actually two houses away. The landowner is my uncle, and what I provided here is, these are pictures. Pictures of the site now so you guys can get a better understanding of what this thing looks like. My backyard, I can see right over there to it, and it is, Mr. Maxwell was saying it's screened off. It's not screened off. There is a horse fence, but you see right through it, and you can see all the trailers, sheds, cars, what have you, as you see these aerial photos that I've taken here lately.
Could you go sure. Show me which property it is yours?
I'm Cammie Banks Kane, 35196 Old Mill Road. Ted's my brother. I'll show you his property.
Thank you. Yeah, okay.
And also, currently so this whole farm is in a preservation trust, and we have the documents here stating that it's only supposed to be for AR1 agricultural, not, it's never, wasn't supposed to be conditional use.
This land is in an agricultural?
Preservation trust, yes. And we have the documents here to give you guys so that you could see that.
You're using the word trust. Is this an agricultural preservation district as we understand them?
I would have to look into that to verify whether or not.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the question is it a preservation trust legally or just with you all in terms of the family or whatever?
No, there legally.
There is a Banks Family Farm Preservation Trust. And it's for the purpose of preserving lands owned by the settlers that will pass to the beneficiaries, which are Ted, myself, and our other brother. And it is for farmland in perpetuity.
Farmland, and also our uncle runs a horse business on the farm, and that it clearly states in this document that we'll give you that as an equestrian center and a farm, and we want to keep it that way.
That sounds different than an ag preservation district.
Yeah, that's different.
State,
yeah, that's
that
a different
was, like,
thing.
Your question.
Okay. Just a curious question: is the current landowner a party to this trust?
He's my uncle, yes, and he is the trustee right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I just want to say that you know, this business has been operating here for a few years now. The applicant is not the landowner, as I think we've kind of made aware. You know, like I just said, the property is in 2012 was put into a preservation trust to preserve as farmland. Kind of as stated too, the location was a previous horse pasture. I do believe it looks like an eyesore with the trailers and the sheds and different cars there. And it just doesn't fit into the neighborhood, which is completely agricultural, residential, and the closest business is 2 miles away. That's at the corner of White's Neck and Route 26.
Yeah, and also I'd like to add that Mr. Banks currently has other property where he could use that that's zoned differently. So if he wanted to move the trailers over there, but it's just not for the it's not in the correct spot now where it's being used.
And I guess my kind of future concern that I just learned here, that if you put this conditional use on, it does stay, you know, with the property, you know, and at some point we will be trustees ourselves of it. So
you could get rid of it if you didn't want it, but it does go with the property.
Okay.
Anybody else like to speak in opposition to this application? Please.
Hello, my name is Guy Rickards, and I live at 30138 White's Neck Road, Dagsboro, Delaware. And I am the closest neighbor. I own the property to the west. Mm-hmm. I live in the closest home to the west. And I also represent Indian River View Limited Partnership, which owns 2 farms in the area. And we own property across the street from it. The partnership does, our partnership. And I hate to be the neighbor that comes up here and complains about it, because Michael is a good guy and he's raising a family, and I respect him for having a business and trying to work and get ahead. And this business has been going on over there for a couple years. I haven't liked it, and I just haven't said a whole lot about it, because I was under the impression that he was actually in the process of setting up an RV business up in Frankfort. And I think he has probably done that. I don't know for sure. But once I got the notice that he's trying to do something permanent over there, I'm definitely in opposition to it. Over the past couple summers, at times, there's been as many as 20 RVs over there. That number has been reduced now. Now there seems to be a lot of sheds over there. And he and his surveyor mentioned a campground in the area, which is Tuckahoe Acres Campground. That's a couple miles away. It's down on the bay. And because it is a campground that's open for the summer, it is a residential area too. People come there and stay for the summer. What's going on is those are all permanent sites in the campground. And once the RVs get, I'm not sure what their rules are, it's either 15 or 20 years old, the campground will not allow them to sell the RV on the site to the next customer because of the age of it. They want to keep their campground looking nice. So they come out of the campground and come over next door, and he repairs them, and then they move on. So my point to that is everything going over there is aged and in disrepair. You know, an RV 20 years old or 15 years old was starting to get in disrepair. The area is zoned AR1 from White's Neck Road and Old Mill Road. The whole loop around, all the way over to Irons Lane Road, there's nothing on that loop except residences and grain farms, grain fields. There's very nice developments on that road. You guys are probably familiar with some of them. Bay Forest is on there, very nice ponds out front, nice houses. We sort of back up to the greens, Cripple Creek Golf and Country Club, Bay Colony, Holtz Landing State Park is the other way. There is no businesses in that area anywhere. And I feel to let a business in there, and especially a business of that type, is a very bad move. There's other places that that business can go. There's actually RV storage facilities on Route 26, which is not that far away. I just wanted to, I guess I'm allowed to present some things for you guys to look at. Mm-hmm. First couple pictures I'm going to give you is a picture of my house and my neighbor's house.
Just give me a second. They come to me.
So you can see the type of homes in the area. And then I would like to contradict what some of the things the surveyor said. I am the next door property owner. There is no buffer. And I got four pictures here. The fence that they're talking about is a horse fence, which provides no visual blockade whatsoever. And the trees on that fence are just wild trees that have grown up because the fence hasn't been maintained. The property line is pretty much right where the fence is at. And I went over there the other day and took some pictures from my property and off of our property line, 3 to 5 feet. These four pictures show you what is just on the other side of my property line. There's no buffer whatsoever. And they have put these sheds in there, and it's the same thing with the sheds. Once they get in disrepair in the campground and they want to move them out of there, they come next door to me. And also, I'm a little bit confused why somebody who doesn't own the property is applying for zoning changes. And I guess the last two things that I would like to say is you guys notice it's on a 32-acre parcel. The 1 acre that they have picked out to make this business is right on my property line. And it is very detrimental to my property value. When there's a RV storage, sales, and repair business on your property line, your property value is going to go down. And, you know, I feel like it takes my quality of life down. And as far as the noise, I would also like to contradict that, too. When they stood up here, they told you guys that they use generators because they don't have electric out there. I live next door to it. I can hear a generator run. If they're hammering on something, I can hear that. So I hate to be the neighbor that comes up here and says all this stuff, but that's the reality of it. Thank you very much for your time, and thank you for considering what I had to say.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition to this application? Okay. I just had another, I had a question. I didn't understand the agricultural trust part.
We'll check to see if it's an ag preservation district. It sounds like it's a trust that was set up, I don't know, by the family or whatever, with its intent with regard to that trust. That's a private matter, not something that's been submitted and approved as an agricultural preservation district, which has its own legal standing about what you can do and not do on a property. It sounds like there's two different things.
But if they created their own deed in the trust, then it would, so it could preclude this?
Well, I don't know what the deed says. It sounds like their trust document, how the ownership's set up. Okay. And that's a contract issue with them, I would say.
We review, though, for instance, when we do a subdivision, we review private deed restrictions, but we can't enforce them, right?
Yeah.
We don't
yeah.
have any authority to enforce
yeah.
them.
Sometimes we'll look at them and take it into consideration, like if somebody within a subdivision yeah. wants to do a commercial operation. But it sounds like we're talking about two different things. Because
yeah.
the agricultural preservation districts, where you get paid money and, you know, and you give up certain rights, there's limitations on what you can do
right.
with that property, which it sounds like this is different. That's just an agreement that's part of the trust.
And we have the information online. I just turned on that layer. It did not show up on this property. So it is not in a state ag preservation district or easement.
Okay. And, all right, help me out with proceeding here. Can I close the public hearing, but leave it open to get information, the information about the, so we already have the information then. It's the
yeah, what you're doing is you're closing the public hearing, and then when we come back to decide what to do, you would say we'll leave the record open for, you know, information about the chain of title, the deed, any restrictions.
Thank you. All right, then I will close the public hearing, and I said before, you're welcome to stay to see if we make a motion tonight. You can call the office in the morning. Thank you. Conditional use number 2112, Mitchell Family Limited Partners.